Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always be a part of the show. You can watch the show, actually. Go to hornfm.com, and you can tap into the Twitch stream right there. There should be a link, and you can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. Yes, today was a good day. Yesterday was a good day. Saturday, great weekend for Texas baseball. They end up sweeping their way through the regionals and now awaiting their opponent for the super regionals. It's going to be either South Alabama or South Florida, and we'll get you caught up with a score that my man KD is actually keeping up with it as we speak.
Trying to find, because they're now streaming it, so they've got, and you saw me scrambling.
I was going to say, technology.
But with this stuff, I'm actually pretty good.
Yes, you're pretty good.
So it goes to show you, I could be good if I gave a damn, and when I give a damn, all of a sudden, I'm all over.
Just need a little motivation. But
they're streaming South Alabama. They've got Southern Miss, Ole Miss on ESPN2, Oregon State, Dallas Baptist on ESPNU. Those are your games right now. Nebraska, Arkansas later on. Go Huskers. I don't say that a lot. South Alabama, though, leading South Florida, 2-0 in the top of the fourth. Winner of that game is coming to Austin.
Yeah, there'll be beautiful weather, too. My man John is putting out the summertime vibes with his theme today for the music. He's been doing a great job with that. Ice Cube, today was a good day.
That's why you're saying there's going to be beautiful weather. You're not going weather guessers here.
Oh, no, it's going to be beautiful. Now, it actually, whatever the hell was here for the last 2 weeks is supposed to be moving out. And now we're supposed to have sunny, beautiful Austin-y weather for the next 2 weeks or so.
Head up to the Northwest. Head up to John's former area. They're used to that up there.
Yeah, it was strange. Well, actually, for a while, because I know because my future wife is right now.
You got it right that time.
You
didn't say woman. You didn't say winch. You didn't say dame. You didn't say.
I only just called her a woman. I've called her my woman. That's an affectionate term. Yeah. When a woman says my man, it's all good. Why can't a man say my woman?
Because nothing reverses that way.
That's also true.
So that's the world we live in, deal.
She's in the Pacific Northwest right now. She has been for a while. And it's been sunnier up there. There's been better weather in Washington than it's been. Ask my man CB.
That's what CB said. CB's
been saying it's been better weather up there than down. It's actually been wetter here and rainier here than in Washington, which is also a rarity.
It is weird.
But that's not going to happen anymore. Beautiful weather coming up. So
girl leaves and it gets wetter here.
Texas baseball getting ready for the Super Regionals. And UFCU was packed, as my man Katie said, too. So people were enjoying the beautiful weather. You're excited? Yeah, you're excited the atmosphere. I did see on Twitter, Occupy Left Field, just the entire movement of Occupy Left Field. It was popping.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole area was, I don't know, the videos I saw, it was crazy. I don't know if they count how many people are at the actual Occupy Left Field area. I don't know if I've ever seen it that damn crowded, though.
They're not IDing and they're not checking. They're not counting.
It's
everyone's welcome, right?
I know. I would like to see
what the actual numbers were.
Well, yeah, maybe we should ask Occupy Left Field guy if he counts it. Does a little unofficial head count.
Before we get to the NBA playoffs, remember how Occupy Left Field started? All those guys have and gals have season tickets, so it's funny how Steve Patterson was so worried about that and blocked their view. Intentionally put something up to block their view. It goes to show you
want them to pay for that privilege.
Well, he never even asked. He thought that they were just trying
to get a free
free college baseball in. Yeah. As much as I love it, like
sneak.
Come on, let's get real here. They actually are at every game. They have season tickets. They just want to be out there. All they do is help the atmosphere, the environment. Recruits go by there. Recruits' parents go by there. Trust me, it is a positive for this program.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And
it's like it's free publicity and free promotion for the university. A tradition you didn't have to start that the fans started.
It's free.
That will also live on and help build the aura and the legend of Texas baseball. And you're like, and you're fighting against it.
Yeah. And also during a time when the atmosphere didn't feel like it did when I was a kid, when that place was raucous, like it was this weekend inside the dish. We'll get to NBA playoffs here, but quickly, just how quick the turnaround was for Texas. So CDC gets in finds out. He's like, what the hell is going on here? And he's like, well, they have season tickets.
Explain it to me again.
What was this guy doing?
What's he upset about?
I mean, outside of the hair, what did he have going on? So he gets that, those boards taken down, Occupy Left Field on Twitter. I'm sure they still have that on there. He probably has it pinned. And if you don't, Mark, repost that, because it was pretty cool seeing when they take it down. And over the weekend, Jay Hartzell, the president, I think he's doing a good job, school president, and CDC had this note and sent out TIFF's treats to the guys out there and gals out there, and just said, thank you so much for what you do. You mean a lot to this program. All you do is help everything. And I thought, wow, what a 180 in leadership.
Yeah, because CDC's smart enough to know they're doing my job for me.
Right.
Right. It's the stuff I was supposed to do anyway, but they just set it up free of charge. They promoted. They built it. All I got to do is sanction it. Okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
if they didn't have season tickets, I'd still say run with it.
Yeah, I'm
but
with
they
you.
Do? What was your problem, Steve-O?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I guess the complaint would be if they weren't a lot of ticket holders, but now it's like, no. It's tailgating, man.
It's tailgating.
It's just tailgating. It's tailgating.
It adds to the scene.
At another level, yeah. It does add to the scene. It does. It's fantastic.
There are recruits, parents, and recruits that go by there. It helps.
No, I've talked to some people, and that's kind of where they prefer to hang out throughout the entire game. They're like, no, I go out there and kick it and hang out. It's like a family reunion for them.
Exactly.
A little family get-together. All right. Well, something that's not going to be a real family-esque get-together. Maybe next time the Mavs are getting together. The Mavs are out of the playoffs, of course. Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Man, Kawhi Leonard is just that good. Anytime we start to forget about, because it's a quiet, subtle, very meek dominance by Kawhi. He's not on social. Yeah, exactly. He's got, yeah, the that laugh is still troubling. I mean, that's what it must sound like when doves cry. I don't know. It's crazy. But anyway. No, Kawhi once again shows you why he is considered to be one of the top five players in the game. He took over that series.
Yeah, he did.
He took over the series when everybody was focused on Luka and Luka's greatness.
From 85 on in game six in the third.
He took it over.
Over.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Luka was the best
fourth
player in that series. Still may bear out that he was if you look at all the stats. But there's no doubt about it. In the last three games when it mattered most, Kawhi Leonard took over the series. It was his series.
He did. And Paul George, I think we just have to recalibrate what he is, and he's a glue guy. And he did play pretty well in this series. Shot above, I think, 46% from the field and gave them kind of what they needed, including 22 in that clincher yesterday as Clippers win 126-111. They win in seven. They're moving on. This is the first game that the home team actually won. And as we were going to the weekend on Friday, we were going to watch that Friday night game in Dallas, game six. And Rod, it felt like they had to get it done there. Even though every road team had won, you were just going to get into a game seven. And the Mavs and Luka specifically just didn't have enough help. And look, the way the NBA is structured now, and we've seen it with actually both these teams, Porzingis is the second guy for the Clippers. I'm sorry, for the Mavs, and Paul George is the second guy for the Clippers. Well, if they don't play like a true second superstar should, then you're in a really rough spot. And I think the Mavs are in a much rougher spot with that second guy than the Clippers are.
Yeah, I mean, we all see that Luka is a generational talent. Like, it's a done deal. So if you're a Dallas, you're a Mavs fan, I know there's a lot of stress. We'll get to her in a second with all the reports about Kristaps Porzingis. You're basically the NFL franchise that's found your franchise quarterback in the first two or three years after you drafted him. Like, he's going to be now the franchise for the Mavs for the next 15 years, unless they mess it up and, you know, he becomes disgruntled and he doesn't like them anymore. But I don't see that happening.
He's going to sign his Supermax this offseason. He said he will.
Exactly. Because he loves the organization. He loves Mark Cuban. They seem to get along. They seem to vibe. It's all great. Now the hard part is over. You know the guy you're building around. Now you just got to go find all the missing pieces and the collection of his supporting cast, however that looks. So I still think the Mavs are in a really good place. I know Mavs fans don't want to hear that because of the Kristaps Porzingis report, which we'll get to right now. It was reported first. I saw the Dallas Morning News throw it out there that Kristaps Porzingis is upset. He's frustrated. the report from ESPN's ESPN McMahon.
Frustrated at himself?
This is the report. This is the tweet. Porzingis has been frustrated, often feeling more like an afterthought than a co-star next to Luka Doncic, per the ESPN report. And then the Dallas Morning News reports that the situation between Rick Carlisle and Kristaps Porzingis is untenable for the Mavs, and sooner or later, someone needs to go.
Well, I know who I'm sending.
So Kristaps Porzingis just signed a long-term deal with the Mavs. I forgot exactly what it is, but I think it's a $100 million deal. It's a big deal. Everybody assumed that was going to be a match made in heaven, and now Kristaps Porzingis is playing like an average player, just a jag in the NBA. And there's nothing wrong with his production level, but what you're paying for, you're not getting the production you're paying for, and you're paying for him to be a true number two to Luka. He's not that right now.
No, he's not a number two right now, and he had 16, which was a good effort for him
yesterday. It's not bad. Exactly.
It was two more than Boban had, and they went big again with both those guys. But look, Porzingis was cutting. When he's cutting and finishing with some dunks, then all of a sudden he starts to add a little bit more versatility there. I'm sure he's not happy the way he's being used. I questioned if he was going to be a real number two when they made the move, and I did it on these airwaves because starts off with him being healthy.
Yeah.
Because he's injury prone, and how healthy can he be? And then the other thing, too, is, well, how are they going to use him with someone like Luka? And look, they haven't utilized him well, but I'm going to blame him more than I am anyone. I don't think he's a number two.
Yeah, I mean, that'd just be a mis-evaluation by the Mavs, but if that's the case, then you're in a hell of a conundrum now because you got to either ask him to take a pay cut, which NBA players don't do, so that's not an option. He's not going to do that. Now you got to figure out who's a trade partner.
Right.
Now you got to find a suitable trade partner, and you know you need to get pieces in return that can help Luka. And I don't know if they are at that point just yet. They can still think about resolving whatever conflict exists between he and Carlisle. And I wonder if, and I don't think they are, if they are getting, you know, maybe frustrated with Rick Carlisle a little bit. I know Dallas Mavs fans are. I don't know if management is, because they have had a lot of underwhelming seasons, a lot of first-round exits for the Dallas Mavs, especially since they won the title. A lot of first-round exits since then.
Tim Hardaway Jr., 1-for-9 from beyond the arc. He chips in only 11. He was minus 15 when he was on the court. Finney Smith ends up with 18. I mean, I like those guys as pieces, but this team needs to get better, and they really haven't done much. I mean, here's a number for you, Rod. Just 2 of the 10 Mavericks who have played in that game were acquired after January 2019.
Yeah.
Boban and Josh Richardson. So it's been 2.5 years, and the Mavs really haven't done anything to make Luka better. We were having the same discussion less than a year ago because this was such a quick turnaround when the Mavs were ousted in the bubble by who? The Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, and the Clippers, I will say that I thought they would win this series in 6 games. And last year, people thought they would make quick work of the Mavs, too. That's, for a lot of people, may signify the Mavs were ahead of schedule.
They were, but it's 2.5 years. I mean,
now, no, I agree.
If
not
you're still
the
ahead of schedule, then take that and say, well, let's just continue to be ahead of schedule.
At that time. At that time, I remember people saying, oh, man, the Mavs are way ahead of schedule. They can compete with the Clippers already. And maybe that wasn't the case. Maybe Luka's just that damn good. Maybe Luka's just, yeah. And I said at the time, I said, maybe Luka is, there is no matchup, defensive matchup to neutralize Luka. I don't know if there's anybody in the NBA. If Kawhi Leonard and Paul George couldn't do it, I don't know who the hell you throw at Luka to try to, you know, to stop that guy or neutralize him. I mean, who in the league is better than Kawhi Leonard defensively on the perimeter?
That's where he really separated.
Or Paul George. Yeah. So
I mean, Kawhi had 4 steals in this game, and when he wants to lock down defensively, that's where he brings so much versatility. He does so many different things, and then also offensively, everything he does. So, yeah, I thought Paul George fit in nicely to kind of finish his series off, and they got some help from other guys, including Morris, who had 23.
When he hits 23. That's
when he hits 7 threes, too.
Yeah, that's when you get a performance like that from a guy who, yes, he is a starter, but you never expect him to give you a 7 3-pointer performance. That means it's going to be a long night for the opponent. One quick stat. I know Mavs fans have been talking about this. When the Dallas Morning News reported Chris Porzingis or Rick Carlisle. Dallas has been to the playoffs 9 times where Rick Carlisle's the head coach. They have lost in the first round 7 times.
Okay.
6 first round exits in a row.
My question is, were those
since
teams
winning the championship
really good enough to advance? I think that's why he's gotten a pass on that. That most of them weren't.
No. I agree. I'm not saying get rid of Rick Carlisle.
But those numbers are those numbers.
But I'm just saying that's why people are having discussion. They are wondering if going forward now with Luka building around him, do you need to find a different coach to build around Luka? I'm not saying you do. I'm just giving the numbers and the stats about it.
Fair enough. I'll give you some good numbers here. How about LASIK starting at $495 per eye with guaranteed financing approval? You can get that at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. I went in a couple years ago. I've got perfect vision now. Didn't before. You could start to, you slowly realize that, like most things with aging. And I finally went in there and took that free consultation just to see if I qualified for LASIK. I was in, I was out. I couldn't believe just how quick this whole process was, specifically that, because you can do it during a lunch break, still go get some lunch. And essentially, it's a free eye exam, which is cool. So if anything else is going on, they'll let you know about that. But mainly, you want to find out, can I do this? Can I qualify for LASIK, especially with that number at $495 per eye? Then I ended up doing it. The procedure was quick, easy, and painless. I was in, I was out. I asked the doc after. That's it? Are you serious? He's like, yep, I'm serious. You're good to go. Give him a call. 512-596-2020. 512-596-2020 or sharpvision.com. Sharp with an E-vision.com. It's Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, the official LASIK provider of Austin FC. Now, Rod, all three of us, we try not to do this, but you just got to give your honest take. I think we all have the Clippers winning the whole thing.
I got the Nets winning the whole thing.
Not Clippers, Nets.
Nets,
yes, the Nets. Yeah. All three of us have the Nets. No James Harden. And is that going to matter in this series?
Yeah, I think it could end up coming back to haunt the Nets. But it didn't in game one. I mean, he got hurt early on, right? Didn't play in the game, so they still ended up winning that matchup. I wonder when, and I got to go back and look at game one and see how often they let Giannis defend KD. Because that's now without Harden in the mix for the foreseeable future, and at least for the next game, game two. You know, if you can get Giannis to somehow, make life difficult for Kevin Durant, which I don't know if anybody can do that. I mean, he's the most prolific scorer really in the league because there's really nothing he can't do offensively. But Giannis, athletic, in terms of his athletic profile, he's got all the raw materials to defend Kevin Durant. Let's just say that your MVP and the defensive player of the year, arguably the best defensive player in the league, can make life difficult on KD if you allow him to defend him a lot. That's what happened in the series versus the Heat. They put Giannis on Jimmy Butler more often.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something they weren't willing to do. Remember, they didn't do that in 2019 and Jimmy Butler went off. He was going off on Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. Same way that Mike Budenholzer didn't learn from Kawhi Leonard when the Toronto Raptors went off. He didn't put Giannis on him then. He didn't put Giannis on Kawhi, and he should have put Giannis on Kawhi more often than. They're just worried about wearing down Giannis offensively if he has to exert too much energy defensively. I don't know if you can worry about that. If James Harden is out, you got a chance to really flip the tables and flip the script in your advantage by putting Giannis on KD as much as you can. I mean, I don't know, you don't want to go overboard, especially if he gets in foul trouble, but as much as you can, and then maybe you can come up schematically with a way to make life difficult for Kyrie, because now you don't have to defend James Harden, Kyrie, and KD, which nobody in the league can do.
No.
You got the personnel to defend KD and Kyrie. You do.
I hope
the
you're
Bucks
right.
can do that.
I hope you're right. This is a series because I was excited about Bucks Nets and I want Harden in there. But with Harden out, I think it kind of adds to your point that this could be a more competitive series and it frees up the Bucks to actually do some different things defensively.
Yeah, they could. I don't know. I got to go back and look at game one and see how often Budenholzer allowed Giannis to defend KD. And that's what everybody wants to see anyway. I mean, that's your primetime matchup. But Jimmy Butler, last series when he was guarded by Giannis as the primary defender, he was only 3 of 12. So I know bubble Jimmy went off, right? But I think a lot of that was because they just didn't allow Giannis to defend him enough. Mm-hmm. But once they did, Giannis can shut you down.
No, he can't defensively.
He's long, rangy, and athletic, man.
And that's the great thing about that matchup. Those are two long cats going at it, and you think Durant is going to pull him out a little bit. Yeah. But still, yeah, that's what I want to see. That'll be tonight at 6:30 on TNT. Then you got the Nuggets and the Suns, game one of the Western Conference semifinals. Joker and Booker will be meeting up. That's also on TNT. Some NBA basketball for you right there. Up next, it is one and done time, and I'm telling y'all, this whole bracket is shaping up really nicely for Texas. The Horns look great, and so does the future.
I like that five-star recruit in Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. So nice that Texas was able to not only get the regional in, let's start there, because with weather, I was thinking, oh my God, what is this weekend going to look like? A little bit of a delay for Fairfield and Arizona State, but not for Texas, and there was no rust at all. So maybe some questions about what the offense looked like with the Big 12 tournament, but no issues, and strikeouts were not an issue. They clearly look like the best team in the regional, and they were. And then you get a Fairfield team, give them some love. They were just beaten down. They had no pitching left. That was a complete mismatch. Talking to some guys who played ball at Texas early on in that thing, they said, man, I feel bad for these guys. And Rod, you know the way that is, because you've been in situations where it's like, man, you just at least want a competitive matchup, and that was not going to be competitive. It wasn't early. It was 10-0 before you could turn the station on.
Yeah, didn't they, one of their best players, their catcher, ended up breaking his jaw or something, too?
Yeah. It was facial fractures.
Oh, yeah, like a baseball hit him in the face during practice.
Because they were scrimmaging, and this was a day or two before they were going to fly down here. It's their catcher who is the All-MAC Player of the Year.
Of course.
It's funny, I was looking him up, and I'm thinking just a catcher. I'm like, all right, this guy's got to be one of these guys that can just mash. And he can hit, but he was 5'9", 180 pounds, or 5'8", like 180 pounds. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, God, what kind of catcher does this guy look like? But, yeah, that definitely affected them. But it wasn't going to change what happened yesterday. You get into the loser's bracket. And look, Fairfield, that's the other thing, too. I figured that their third and fourth starters probably weren't fantastic. And we saw that. They just ran out of gas. But give them a little bit of love. I'll give the Arizona State bullpen some love, too. I talked about it earlier as they were running down the left field line in that third inning, and the Texas crowd just erupted and some funny stuff down that third baseline, razzing those guys. Well, one of the relievers, number 41, Sam Bodlovich, was running down there, and I gave him a little bit of love. I don't tag people on Twitter because I'm not nine. I'll tag them. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah, no,
I mean, seriously.
I don't tag people.
It's really positive, which this was.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say, if I'm trying to encourage them or something like that, but
exactly.
I'm not going to tag
So, especially a college athlete. So, yeah. I was having fun with that, and I said, you know, huge props, because I went back, and you know me, sociopathically, I rewatched that moment. Like, I'm not even going to get into how many times I rewatched it.
Yeah, sorry.
Too often.
There you go.
And
that's your job.
But here's the thing. You rewatched Zapruder enough.
They find it.
Back into
the left.
And you see Lucien Sarti with a Dallas Cops uniform on. I haven't gotten that far. But yeah.
Back into the left.
You see some things. So Bodlovich was laughing. He was smiling. And you could see it. Apparently, someone tweeted me, it was down the left field line, said a couple of the other guys were, which is how you deal with that, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't their fault that they were asked to start the game in the dugout and had to run down the left field. So he follows me on Twitter and then gets in touch with me and says, hey, he said, appreciate the love, appreciate the shout out. Is my grandma wasn't able to watch this game. Is there any way you can take a video of that and send it to me?
Oh, wow.
I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man. You know, by the way, good job coming
in. That's
crazy.
You
did well. That's awesome. You got a ride at Arizona State. You guys, in my opinion, are the second best or top three program of all time. So I was giving him love.
That is pretty cool.
But that's cool. It just goes to show you how important this moment is for a lot of these guys. Yep. And I'm sure his grandma's thinking, wow, what's Longhorn Network? How can I watch this stuff? And so I took a video of that and sent it to him.
That's pretty cool.
So his grandma could see that.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So Texas able to get through Arizona State, able to get through the whole regional, and it was not a problem. Arizona State, those first three innings would have been the most competitive that this thing was for Texas. They go 3-0. And as you look at how all this shapes up, so they get the winner of the Gainesville regional. God, this could not have worked out any better. You know, I told you about Florida.
You were worried about Florida.
I was.
And you were worried about Florida.
Guess what? That's the way baseball is. Florida was preseason number one for a reason.
That's the way baseball go.
And if you watched them the last couple of weeks, which was really when I had watched them, I knew that they had been flaky and kind of up and down throughout the regular season. But they looked good. And they were pounding some teams in Hoover and putting some runs on the board, including Mississippi State, who just got through and is going to be in the Supers. And, man, it just all went away. I don't know how much of this is Kevin O'Sullivan and the flirtation and the rumors that he's going to be going to LSU. I don't know how much of it is. They're just a really, really young team and a young, I don't want to say entitled, a young four-star, five-star team, and sometimes you can hit them in the mouth like they did against South Florida in that first game. To get blown out 19-1, whatever the final was in that second game, no excuse for it, Rod.
That's just a choke.
Yeah, and that's also given up.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it
a,
is.
Yeah, in the postseason though, to get beat that bad baseball, that's a choke job.
It's a choke job. I saw a Florida guy before the regional saying, "You know what? We kind of got it together, and we're not worried about the draft as much. We're not worried about different stuff. We're just trying to win this thing." And so that works out well. And then you're thinking, okay, the number two Miami seed, you know, or what's going to happen with them? Miami gets bounced. So right now it's South Florida, the 4 seed, and South Alabama, the 3 seed, and they are playing a winner-take-all. Winner will come to Austin. That is 2-2 in the top of the 5th right now.
I mean, could it have worked out better for Texas? I don't know if it could have, based on what they got in the regionals and the way that this Gainesville regionals, you know, playing out. It's unbelievable.
So you're taxing whoever comes. Their pitching has been taxed. They've had to go through all the amount of games they could have played, and now you're at a spot. So even if South Florida wins that last night or they finish it off the day, you say, okay, well, South Florida was able to get through, and they went 3-0, and they didn't have to use as many pitchers. They're going to have to use everyone on their staff. South Alabama's going to have to use everyone on their staff. And as I look at the Texas side of the bracket, so let's say Texas beats the winner of South Alabama, South Florida, and they're going to be a heavy favorite. And if they play the way they did this weekend and they pitch like that, Texas will be going to Omaha for the 37th time in school history. Rod, I really like the matchup. Mississippi State isn't playing very good baseball right now, and for as good as they can. They got run ruled in both SEC tournament games. And then, look, they got a pretty favorable regional. They just advanced. I watched a lot of that game against Campbell, and give them love because they went 3-0, but 3-0s can look different.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State fans heading into this thing were really nervous. Hey, they went 3-0, but there were just some holes in this team that I didn't see early on in the year when I thought they were a better team than Texas.
Yeah, it's like 3-0 Texas. What, 33 runs to 5 they allowed in those 3 games? That's putting a statement on each one of those wins.
It's a little different. So the way this works, Texas, if they advance, they're the 2 seed. The first game in Omaha, they would get the winner of Mississippi State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to be going down to Mississippi State. The only team that looked more impressive than Texas was Notre Dame. You know how many? So Notre Dame went 3-0. You know how many runs they scored in 3 games?
More than 33?
50.
How the hell do you score 50 runs in 3 games?
Do you know how many home runs they hit?
10?
15.
Wow.
Nico Cavadas alone hit 5.
Wow.
It was very impressive. John, you have something? It was very impressive stuff.
Touchdown, Jesus. Home run, Jesus.
I don't have something, but we got a caller named Steve Dunn says, stop talking this way, you're going to jinx us.
Oh.
Gotcha. Well, it's my job, so I'm going to keep on talking this way. Texas is put in a really, really good spot.
Is this Steve Dunn? Is this related to...
No.
Is this the Dunn family?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean,
is a random Dunn called?
It's spelled the same way in everything. That's what I was thinking. It's like cousin.
There are no Dunns in Austin.
You sure?
Positive.
You're not claiming this, Stephen Dunn?
No, there are no Dunns in Austin.
Okay.
Like, the Duns come from Chicago. These Duns come from Chicago. We appreciate you listening, Steve. I totally see what you're saying, but got to do a radio show, so I'm gonna get into what I see. And just like with Florida, doesn't mean it's gonna come true. We got 4 hours here, so we're gonna give our opinions and then roll from there. All right. So Notre Dame, Mississippi State would be that first matchup in Omaha, and I think that would be the toughest one. I think Notre Dame is playing good baseball right now. Notre Dame, outside of Bertrand, their lefty starter, Link Jarrett has really had to almost go Tampa Bay Devil Rays with the type of relievers and how they're using their pitching staff. So it's not, you know, they're really damn good, and they look good this weekend. And I have followed them all season long, so I know this Notre Dame team pretty well. That would be a really tough matchup, but this would not be the toughest side of an Omaha bracket that I've seen before. So Texas would take on the winner of that. Then on the other side, still within that bracket, you've got TCU, who was the sixth seed.
Yeah.
They got upset. So you've got Oregon State and DBU playing right now. Oregon State is leading 5-0. That's in the bottom of the fourth. The winner of that will get the winner of Old Dominion and Virginia. ODU's a really good team, and they're an 11 seed for a reason, but that's not the strongest pairing I've seen. Tennessee, who needed a grand slam to win the opening game, not to be upset by the four seed. Tony Vitello's got a good team. I've watched them all season long. I like them. Texas matches up with them. Tennessee's going to get the winner of Oregon LSU. That is tonight. My point is, as I look at the Texas side that would lead them to the national championship series, it is winnable. And I think Texas matches up. I know Mississippi State. I know Notre Dame. I don't know DBU or Oregon State that well, and I don't know ODU or Virginia that well, but I know that they're put in those spots for a reason. And then the winner of Tennessee, let's say Oregon, wins tonight. That would be good, but Texas would be the favorite to get to the national championship series. That only means so much. Tonight is the big one, though, for me, because you got on the other side of the Omaha bracket, meaning that Texas would not face any of these teams unless they played the national championship series. Yeah. And if you get there, you say, hell of a series, guys. Whatever happens, I'm proud of you, and you're going to go down as an all-time team here in Austin. Arkansas has not looked good. I say Mississippi State haven't looked good. They look better than Arkansas this weekend. Arkansas it's not the same team I saw in the regular season. I'm just going to guess that's a weekend blip, and that's the way baseball can work. But they lost to Nebraska last night, which surprised me. So that's a winner-take-all game in Fayetteville. Arkansas, who has been dominant, no doubt the number one national seed in this tournament and the favorite to win the whole thing, is taking on Nebraska for the right to go take on NC State in a super regional. That was surprising. Texas Tech is on the other side. Texas Tech got to the Supers. They're going to take on the winner of Stanford and UC Irvine. That game is tonight. That should be a fun matchup. Watched a little bit of that last night. And then you've got Arizona, who will be taking on the winner of Ole Miss, Southern Miss. That looks like it's going to be Ole Miss. That's a winner-take-all game, and Ole Miss was leading 9-2 right now. And then you got Vanderbilt and East Carolina. But with Vandy, Arizona, Texas Tech, and let's say it's Arkansas, Texas is on the much, much better side. All they got to do is beat the winner of South Florida and South Alabama. I think that they're going to do that. I think they're going to be set up well. It's baseball, so who the hell knows? And those teams are going to be in a super for a reason. I almost kind of want to see South Florida, that four seed, win this game that is tied at two. South Alabama's a really damn good team. I could see them coming in here and winning a super. But I think Texas' toughest matchup, assuming they get to Omaha, would be Notre Dame. Because I think Notre Dame is going to go down to Starkville and give them everything they can. And right now, I would objectively pick them to win that after scoring 50 runs. And that offense is just rolling right now. That was supposed to be, listening to pundits, going to be a really tough regional. But UConn, Michigan, and Central Michigan, the four seed, who actually ended up getting to the regional final, a lot like Fairfield, or Fairfield was a three seed. But one of those Cinderella teams that gets there, Notre Dame just looked unstoppable.
It's interesting, man. You talked about Arkansas. Because in Arkansas,
Arkansas is number one team in the country.
I mean, didn't they win the conference tournament and win the conference?
They didn't lose
regular season.
They didn't lose a series in the SEC. This SEC this year was easily the deepest SEC I've ever seen, and was was one of the deepest conferences I've ever seen. I mean, it goes with some of the Pac-12 years where they were just loaded and had five or six teams that were in the top 15, or the ACC whenever they had really the five or six teams that were like, man, this team could win it all.
So
Arkansas ran through everything,
and
I'm talking about even in their wins.
Their peak, did they peak at the wrong time? Are they plateaued? That's strange. Are they bored?
Baseball. It's baseball.
Are they bored?
No, they're not bored. It's baseball.
Interesting.
I mean, I hate to always give that answer, but
that's the way baseball goes.
If you don't get that answer, then you don't really get the answer I'm talking about.
No, I'm with you.
Which is, it's just baseball.
Yeah.
And you run into it. So I would love to see Nebraska win that tonight. Still some really good matchups tonight for a winner take all. But guys, Texas is in a great spot right now. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't listen to me. Don't worry about who's coming in. Treat them seriously. Treat them with respect. They're in a super for a reason. And the reason they're in that super is because they're playing good baseball, Winrod, right now, which is all that matters. The best news is that after Texas struck out 47 times in Arlington, they looked a lot better. We'll see once that gets to elite pitching. But the elite pitching that I'm talking about, even as I look at the Omaha side that they're going to be on, Notre Dame doesn't have elite pitching.
Nobody has what Texas has, so three aces. That's crazy.
And you know who else doesn't? Vanderbilt doesn't. Vanderbilt's bullpen is a little questionable, and their third guy is a little questionable. Mm. And you saw that with Georgia Tech putting up 9 runs, ended up putting up 11 in that game that went extras yesterday. You're right. No one has those three starters, and you got three guys coming out of the pen. You can throw Lucas Gordon in there, the lefty who got a little bit of work yesterday. Feeling really good about this team. They run the bases like you and I would high if we were, you know, and did that whole bat thing where you spin around. They are space cadets running the bases, and that'll get them if they end up losing. But right now, I love the path all the way. Honestly, love the path all the way to the National Championship Series.
I know we're up against it. What would be a disappointment?
Right
at
now?
At this point. Yeah. Like, you've seen this team, and now you've seen how, you know, the periphery has kind of worked out.
Going 0-2 in Omaha would be one. That means that you get to Omaha, but going 0-2 would be a disappointment.
Going Omaha and winning nothing.
And winning nothing.
Okay.
Going 2 in Q. This team right now, to me, is... they're looking really, really good, and this is going to set up nicely if they can get through South Alabama or South Florida. Mm-hmm. Top 6, South Florida, South Alabama are tied at 2. We'll keep you up to date with that. We'll talk a little bit more Texas baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. Up next, though, it is Off the Record, one of those rich billionaires, this time as Jeff Bezos, is ready to take flight. We'll explain up next.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! And thing sucks!
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. This one is about the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. He is the founder of Amazon, and Jeff Bezos has said he and Elon Musk, he's not alone in this, they essentially want to colonize the stars. They'd like to make... interplanetary travel, something that is more...
You didn't mean celebrities.
Commonplace, huh? What?
You didn't mean celebrities like those stars.
No. They want to colonize...
That would be fine with that. Can we put them on an island?
I'm sure some people would be cool with that. But no, they have different companies. Blue Origin is the name of Jeff Bezos' aerospace company. Elon Musk has an aerospace company as well. His is SpaceX. Right? Yeah, SpaceX is his. So they both have... Elon Musk has a ton of different companies. He's got a boring company that basically drills big, giant holes in the earth. He is hoping to solve big cities' traffic problems by just drilling holes that you can have these supersonic like speed chambers that you can Yeah, you can, like, basically you'll travel.
You wouldn't even drive.
You wouldn't even drive. I'm saying, so you wouldn't drive. You'd be in some capsule or whatever the mechanism is, and you would travel at some hyper speed through the tunnel to your next location. Theoretically, it's not something right now that's possible.
Do you remember Boston, the Big Dig, and how long that took?
I didn't
go to Boston.
Great point, though. Yeah,
but there was like a seven-year span in between going there. I thought some of the work here was slow.
Yeah, his theory is that there's no way you're going to be able to solve the traffic problems of these major cities with the rate they're growing, Austin, by these legislative moves to try to add space to freeways and change roads because it's moving too slow.
Yeah.
By the time the MOPAC project was over, it was already 10 years behind because they planned it for.
We needed to add it to
took,
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He planned it for 15 years and it took 10 years or whatever. So it just takes too long. So anyway, so Jeff Bezos is also trying to colonize stars. He's got his lot of companies. And he said that he will fly to space next month on Blue Origin's first crewed flight. The flight is scheduled for July 20th. Bezos said in an Instagram post that's about 2 weeks after he is set to resign as the CEO of Amazon. Bezos' younger brother, Mark, is going to join him in this space flight, as will the winner of a public auction currently being held for another seat. Bidding on the auction stood at $2.8 million on Monday morning to get the seat on Bezos' space flight. He said, ever since I was 5 years old, I've dreamed of traveling to space. On July 20th, I will take that journey with my brother, the greatest adventure with my best friend. There you go. Do you want to go on a space flight with Jeff Bezos?
No.
You don't?
I don't want to go to space. I mean, I'm curious about it, but I'll let other people do that. I'm fine down here.
Yeah. Yeah, for some reason, these billionaires, it's like a race to space.
It definitely is.
I'm not trying to rhyme there, but.
And I get the race for space in terms of countries, because I do think that that'll be the next frontier.
Yeah. But these, I guess that's what these billionaires are seeing, that yes, if that is indeed the next frontier, and if I end up being the first to colonize it, then these countries will have to go through me.
Right.
Like, can you buy property in space? Can you buy stuff in space? Can you buy property in space or buy, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I guess.
Can you own things in space? I guess we do have a flag on the moon, so there's.
Oh, no. There are multiple. Not only satellites, but
that's
flags
what I'm saying.
Up.
I'm sure China's probably claiming some part of the moon themselves. Like,
it's like a lot of land was colonized before. No one really owned it, until you said, I own it. Right?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
No, I'm saying there was.
If somebody's on it, though.
I'm saying there was no paper. There was no law. I totally agree with you. If you're on the land.
Some people were on the land. And then people come around and say, well, do you have a permit for that land? It's like, I didn't need a permit. I was born on this land and I own the land. It's like, well, sir, things have changed.
Do you have any papers?
Now,
sir,
you need a permit for
I don't
this
speak
land.
English. I don't write.
You need a permit still, sir.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you got to get off this land.
You know how I get wax out of my ear?
Seems a bit unfair when you break it down that way.
That's for the hardcore listeners right there.
But yeah, so they are colonizing the stars, and I guess you're right, because Richard Branson, he's the Virgin Galactic guy. He's the Virgin Atlantic guy.
He's got too much money to be a virgin. I thought I'd give you a dose of BK because you set me up on four ones, the crew flight and other stuff.
You're done. I missed the sophomore humor, I do. But yeah, so all these billionaires just trying to beat each other, I don't know, to space.
They are.
And it looks like Jeff Bezos is going to be the first to physically go himself of all those billionaires. But Elon Musk is winning Elon Musk is doing it a different way. I think they're all trying to colonize in their own way. I think Jeff Bezos wants to make basically, space travel something that is more commonplace. Like, you can go get in a spaceship and then you can drive if you got the money.
Yeah.
And it means you can do it. Elon Musk, he's basically trying to monopolize satellites and satellite communication.
Right.
Nobody launches more satellites than SpaceX. A lot of times people see, they think they're seeing, unidentified flying objects here in Central Texas. Some people theorize it may be just him out there, wherever his SpaceX, whatever the factory is or wherever the base is, that he may just be sending up satellites in space. Like, he's that eccentric.
I was reading an article, when I was on the coast, and I guess it's near Padre, that area that they're having, I guess some of the stuff's falling debris, right?
Space debris.
Space junk.
I didn't finish the article because
you weren't interested in space junk falling?
Sounds pretty damn interesting. Beach bar and good waves.
That's a good point. You were on vacation.
Yeah.
But that's what Elon Musk is about. And I think his is smarter. His is about trying to monopolize like the satellite communication industry or the satellite communication market.
Okay.
But those are really smart guys doing really smart things. All right. We'll come back. We'll get into more Texas baseball discussion. Just heard one and done. My man KD break it down for you. Reason to be optimistic. A lot of reasons for Texas baseball fans. We'll get into that. We'll also review their dominant performance over the weekend in the regionals. We also got Raj rant of the day on the other side, and we'll get to some Texas football in that discussion. All that and more on the other side right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260.